this passage of scripture, we talked about how important it is if we really truly want to have victory in our Christian life. And here's the point is, we're supposed to want to have victory. It's not just something where we live a miserable, defeated Christian life, where we're overrun by sin and where we struggle all the time and we can't seem like we have any victory. That's not what these chapters are talking about. This chapter is talking about how we can truly have victory in our Christian life. And I think this is important to understand, because many times we've just accepted the fact that we're going to be sinners and we're going to sin and continue on sinning and continue on sinning, and just nothing we can do about it until we get to heaven. That's just not what this passage of scripture teaches us. And I'm glad this is in the Bible. I'm glad this book is in the Bible, but this chapter specifically teaches us this. A couple verses I want to remind you about. Theme verse for this week is knowing this. Once again, you got something here that you're supposed to know. There's a knowledge here. Some of these things are going to be repetitive compared to what you heard last week, and the same teaching the similar things, but it's just repeated and repeated over and over in the scripture, so we can understand that we are able to overcome sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, this idea of being destroyed means it's rendered ineffective. It no longer has the ability to do that. The body of sin has been destroyed. It's in the idea, it's in that verse, in that word, it's talking about how it has become ineffective now. And then here we go to verse number 11, which I think is the key to the whole chapter, which is the key to our entire Christian life when it comes to the sin issue, is likewise reckon. Now, this idea of reckoning is a reasoning. One of our church members, I talked to church after it last Sunday morning, and he says it's one of the highest forms of reasoning, if not the highest form of reasoning, is when a person reckons. And that's what, it's an accounting term. When you look at the different things, you reckon something to be true. Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's some verses there to think about and consider. And we're going to talk about our verses that we've been memorizing and go through these. Romans 6:6 all the way through Romans 6:10. Next week we'll start with another five set. I hope that you've been taking these week by week. I know last week you had a couple weeks since I wasn't here. But take these verses, take it the week, memorize it, and try to understand what's being said here. Let's read Romans 6:6 together. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:7. I'm sorry. Let's read it all together. Romans 6:7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let's read Romans 6:8 all together. Romans 6:8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Once again, these are the verses that we're going to be talking about this morning. Let's read Romans 6:9 all together. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And last but not least, our verse for the week. Romans 6:10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, this idea about being free at last. Imagine with me a man who was maybe born into slavery. He was raised as a slave, trained as a slave. All he ever knew was slavery. Now imagine one day this slave is sold at a slave auction. He is bought by a kind man who immediately hands to the slave papers that declare him to be a free man. You imagine how excited this man must have been. This slave probably ran around rejoicing in his freedom. He runs through the crowd, waving those papers in the air, and he shouts, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God I am free at last." The man who bought him, brought him to the auction to sell him, sees all this, and realizes he has no more business at the auction. He starts to leave. Immediately, the former slave falls in right behind him. The former owner looks around and says, "Man, you're free. You don't have to work for me any longer." The slave answers and says, "I know the paper says that I am free, but all I know is how to be a slave. I am going to follow you and continue to work for you." Obviously, the former owner gladly accepts the offer. But the freed slave has done a foolish thing. You hear a story like that and you think that would never happen. Why would a slave who was free return unto slavery? But you know what? That happens all the time. It happens all the time because Jesus Christ promised freedom to those who would follow him. But so often we continue to fall back into our sins. Even in John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, most people can use this as a passage of scripture when it comes to someone winning someone to Christ. But if you read the context of that scripture, he's speaking to his disciples. Yes, this you can make the conclusion here. You can draw an illustration that when we receive the freedom and the idea of accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are free from the bondage of sin and we are set free in our Christian life. But what Jesus was talking about was to his disciples, and he was saying to them, look, if you'll believe the truth, that you'll know the truth and you'll live by the truth, you'll be set free. You'll be made free. And in your Christian life, you won't be hampered by sin and other things. And John 8:36 is, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." For those who still live like we're trapped, or those that are still acting as a slave, Christians, we are free from the power of sin. You know, we need to understand these truths. And that's why we see in Romans 6:6 here, it says, knowing this. You know, this is something that we should know. This word "know" is a word that means to know by personal experience. To be free, there is something that you're going to need to know. Many never learned this. Many of us live our Christian lives weak and anemic, and we spend our Christian lives in an entire state of defeat and misery. That does not have to be true about you. That does not have to be true about your life. We've been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have been eternally liberated from the power of sin. These verses tell us how to walk in freedom. So even though a Christian may be able to say that they're free at last, thank God I'm free at last, and that's what the Word of God says, how come we don't live that way? How come many of us just live in that bondage and continue on living? And we've done this, and we've done it on purpose to go from that study about our mind to the study of strongholds, and we're bringing it to a conclusion where it comes in Romans chapter 6 here to help us understand we can have victory in our Christian lives. We do not have to live the same way that we have lived all these years. We've been liberated from this sin, and we've been liberated from the power of sin. And I know it doesn't feel that way all the times, but we must learn to reckon ourselves dead. It drives me crazy when someone says, "That's just the way I am, that's the way I have to be, and that's the way I'm always going to be." Then you're saying that the Bible isn't true. You're not reckoning yourself dead. We have power and victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and if we are willing to reckon ourselves dead, we can overcome any sin, we can overcome any problem, no matter how many years or how long it's been a stronghold in our life. Let's look here in Romans chapter 6, and let's look here verses 6 through 14. The Bible says, knowing this, once again, there is something we need to know. There are some things we need to understand. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as members instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. You look at this passage of scripture, and it's just a constant reminder that we are freed from sin. And you say, "Pastor, you spend a lot of time on this." And the truth is, because more than likely, the things we start with at the beginning of the year, the problems we have in our mind, or the strongholds we've been talking so much about, most of us probably still have the exact same stronghold that we had 6 months ago. The reason why we make a big deal out of this is because last 2 weeks ago we talked about reckoning ourselves dead, to know these things and see the reality and see the potential we have as believers. But how many of us in this past 2 weeks have taken and reckoned ourselves dead when it came to something? How many of us had said, okay, I know it's my flesh is screaming out to be able to commit this sin and be able to be this way, but I'm going to see what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to apply what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, and going to reckon myself dead and going to choose not to sin. How many of us did that? See, even though we know some things, oftentimes we don't apply it to our Christian lives. Even though we know some things, there's some things we just choose not to remember and apply. You think about how our salvation, you think about what Christ saved us from. You know what? That's something we know, but do we remember that? Because if we remember what Christ saved us from, that's a motivation. You think about it, we know we're supposed to grow as Christians. We're supposed to grow as believers. But how often do we remember that when we wake up today and say, okay, today is a day I'm going to try to become more like Christ. I'm going to dive into His Word, not just to read, to check off a box, but I'm going to dive into His Word to try to understand and learn something about Him to try to become more like Him. What steps am I taking to grow? How many of us understand, we know that we're going to face persecution, but many times when we're hit by persecution, what happens? We're sent in a tither or for a tailspin. You know, the Bible tells us that we know this, but do we remember this? Do we apply this to our hearts? Do we apply this to our lives? And when it comes to this idea of having victory over sin, we know what the Bible says. But do we remember it? Knowing this, it's an application here. It's reckoning ourselves dead. Here's three things I want you to think about: is the truth of our past, the reality of our death. There, this verse in chapter 6, in the first part of verse number 6, says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, the verse tells us in no uncertain terms that we are crucified with Christ. That is, when he died on the cross, the old man of sin died with him. Our old fleshly nature was forever put to death. Now, you think about that, forever put to death on the cross. This is a fact. If you look at verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is, that word is, it gives this idea that it implies that it's an event that transpired at some point in time and past. It's completely forever, it's completed and done forever. But the results of that continues into the future. In other words, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God took our old, fallen, wicked natures and put them to death also. When Jesus died on the cross, He dealt with every aspect of our sin completely. Every Christian needs to know that they are supposed to be dead. He says, that's what it says, that our old man is crucified. This word crucifixion is kind of an interesting word. Crucifixion, even though it does produce extreme suffering, that's not the intention of it. Crucifixion is only exists to produce death. And the Bible says we've been crucified with Him. Another interesting thing about crucifixion is when you're crucified, you cannot crucify yourself. You know, some people end their lives and they kill themselves, but no one can crucify themselves. Crucifixion must always be inflicted by another. I cannot crucify myself, but if I am saved, I have been crucified with Christ. Now the issue is that we must deal with is that the old man, the old sin nature that is dead, why does it feel so alive? But so many believers do not do what verse 11 says. We just do not reckon ourselves dead. Take your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter number 4, you have a couple of verses here that help us understand how we can put off the old and put on the new. In Ephesians chapter number 4, it gives us this idea of how to reckon ourselves dead. I know it's easier said than done, but that's not the point. The point is believing what God has said and doing what Scripture has said and understanding what His Word has said. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 20. The Word of God says, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible is saying that we can put off the old man and put on the new. We can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And Colossians 3:9 puts it this way. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, Are we really, truly reckoning ourselves dead? And next thing I want you to see is not only is it the reality of our death, but the results of our death. If you look in verses 6 and 7, it talks about different things that should happen. If we are dead indeed, then what is the results? Why does it matter that we died of Christ? It says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So here's some different things. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin, that we should experience true spiritual freedom. You know what? This word destroyed means that it's ineffective now. It no longer has power. The old man has died and now unemployed. He has no control over us. You say, why in the world does it seem so hard and so difficult? It's because are we reckoning ourselves dead? Are we believing what the Bible says? It might not feel like it, but God says it, so that makes it truth. That we should not serve sin. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3 begins to describe what we had to do before. We were forced. We had no choice. We served the master of this world, but thank God in Jesus we've been given new freedom. We should not serve that sin any longer. The evil influence of our nature basically stated we do not have to live like him any longer. Instead, we can live like Christ. We're no longer under the slavery to sin, but will the Christian sin? The Bible tells us he will. I'm not saying that you can get to a point where you no longer sin, you reach this perfection to where you never ever do anything wrong. 1 John 1 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Say, Pastor, you're confusing me a little bit. You're saying that, hey, that I can have freedom. I do not have to sin. That's the truth. But will a Christian sin? Yes, because of our old fallen nature, sometimes we will give in. Does that give us a right or an excuse to sin and do whatever way we want because we have an old nature? No, remember what it said in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is God forbid. We should not continue in sin, even though we are going to slip up, even though we should not use that as an excuse. Do we have to sin is the question. I think that's the question where we come and say, Pastor, this is all sounds good and this all sounds wonderful. But when I get angry and I get upset, I want to be a smart aleck or when I want to be sassy or when I want things so much and so way, when I want to do the wrong things, I just feel so much like I have to do it. That's when we reckon ourselves dead. Think about what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. There have no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will in the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's the thought, is that when that moment of temptation comes, no matter how strong that lust is in your heart and that lust is in your life, you can say no. God has given you a promise here that he will not give you anything that you cannot handle, that he will always make a way of escape. Now when it comes to, you say, Pastor, that's talking about the circumstances in our life. Well, I think sometimes God brings circumstances in our life that we cannot handle ourselves just to show us and to prove to us that we need God and that we need to run to God. What I think this verse is mainly talking about in a context is that, you know what? We are going to face temptations. You as Christians are going to face temptations to do what's wrong. The devil is not like that slave owner when he sold that slave at the auction block and said, okay, he's no longer mine. I'm leaving. And the slave went and followed him. He says, look, you don't have to serve me anymore. The devil's not going to be like that. The devil's going to do whatever he can to try to convince you and convict you to the point that you have to sin and that you have no choice but to be angry. You have no choice but to spend money unwisely, spend your time unwisely, and to have wicked thoughts and to have wicked actions. The devil is going to do whatever he can to try to get you to serve him. But we should experience true victory in our spiritual freedom. Paul uses this analogy in verse number 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. He uses the analogy of death to illustrate the truth that we are dead to sin. A dead man wants nothing. Like I said, a man that struggled with alcohol all his life, once he is dead, no longer does he have the desire for alcohol. No longer is a man tempted by sex or money or by drugs or by anything that might normally tempt the flesh. When he dies, he is free from the temptation to sin. For the Christian, when he reaches a place where we are able to reckon ourselves indeed unto sin, dead unto sin, we can experience the same freedom from temptation. There is something that lives inside of you that has no interest in the sin that you have. who are you making stronger? Typically, our problem is not that God has not given us all that we need to avoid the evil. Our problem is that we like the evil so much, we just don't want to stop doing it. And that's where that stronghold comes into it. Next thing I want you to see is the truth about our position. The truth about our position. You see this in verses 8 through 10. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over sin. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, the first thing I want you to see is our placement in Christ. If we are in Christ, what we are as a believer, we need to understand that we who died with Jesus at Calvary also rose with him from the tomb. Everything that was in Christ, we are in him. What affected him affected us. It stands us to reason that if a believer is identified with Christ in his death, we are also identified with him in his resurrection. And when we are with Christ, he has offered us something, a new life. We have become a new creature. And John 10:10, what does it talk about? The thief cometh to kill and to destroy. But why did Jesus come? To give us life and give it more abundantly. And our placement in Christ also teaches us there is a pattern in Christ. Just as Jesus enjoys permanent victory over the grave, Jesus never has to go back to the grave. He never has to die again on the cross. He paid that price once and for all. He has permanent victory. Read in Revelation how he talked about how he has the keys and how he has conquered death and the grave and sin. And as a believer, we enjoy a permanent victory over sin. We have a spiritual side that says no longer do we have to sin. We have been given the privilege of living a victorious life by the power of his resurrection. I know what you're saying. It doesn't feel that way. And sometimes our feelings is what gets us in trouble. You think about it. I don't know how well you slept last night, but sometimes when you don't sleep very well, you look at the clock and you say, boy, it doesn't feel like 6 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? It's 6 o'clock or it's not 6 o'clock. When it's 6 o'clock, no matter how you feel. And that's the same thing when it comes to spiritual things. It doesn't feel like that I can get over this sin, that I can have victory. But if we look and we reckon ourselves dead, that we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that, and here's a pattern we see in Christ. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. You know, death no longer has nothing on Christ. When Christ came to this physical world, he took on a physical body, he chose to die, and he chose to live again. No longer does it have any type of dominion over him. And this is the illustration he's using here for us. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. This is the pattern that he's giving us. This is the daily experience that we can have with Christ. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, he has victory there. You ever been told a story about something that is not true, but you have a hard time believing it? I don't know about you, but you see the story about kids saying that there's monsters underneath their bed. Maybe they heard some type of scary story and they're scared. You know, parents tell them that there's monsters underneath the bed so that way they don't get up off the bed. You know, sometimes kids get up and down. Now, I never did that. It's better to teach your kids to obey and just obey because you told them to. But sometimes people make up stories and say, hey, look, don't go there because there's some dangerous animal in there. Or, you know, don't get off that bed. You know, if the lights are off and you get off the bed, you know, the monsters underneath the bed, it's going to get you. You know what? We all know that there's no monsters underneath the bed. We all know that that's a lie. And even as a child, if a child has for years believed that and they don't want to look underneath the bed and they don't want to do anything wrong because they're fearful of that, you know what? Sometimes they have to face that reality that it just isn't true. Sometimes they have to come to the point where they can look underneath the bed. But, you know, sometimes those habits are hard to break. Sometimes we become fearful of things that aren't true and that aren't real. But there has to come a day where you reckon yourself and you say, you know what? There is nothing underneath that bed. And I had to face that fear and I had to say, okay, there's nothing there. And here's the same thing that we had to learn to parallel in our own life. We had to learn to accept God's word. I know our feelings might tell us that our sin is there and we have to sin. But when we reckon ourselves dead, we can know something. We've been crucified with Christ. We can know that now we are living a new life in him. Therefore, we must strive to walk in this reality. It's sometimes it's hard for a young person to believe something that they believe is true that they have not believed for so long. And same thing with the stronghold. Sometimes when we get in the Bible and learn the Word of God, we've been learning something for so many years, it has to be true, it has to be true. We need to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it's true, then we need to believe it. Next thing is a truth about our potential. A truth about our potential. This was the last point of last week's message, or 2 weeks ago's message. Our potential in Christ. We are in Christ. We have a pattern he gives us. We live a new life in him. And here in verses 11 through 14, it speaks of reckoning. If it is true that I died with Jesus, then I must account myself to be dead in sin. I want to remind you, this is an accounting term. And in this idea of accounting term, it means to add up all the facts and come to a proper summation. The only way facts add up is that you and I, that we are saved and we are dead to sin. You know, we must realize that if Christ died and rose again, and if we're in Christ, we also have died and rose again. The old man is dead, the new man is alive. While I am dead to the works of sin, the flesh and the devil, I am alive now to his word, his work, his worship, his will, and his ways. The whole idea is that we who are in Christ are to follow after the things that speak of our position in Jesus. Christ, not the old nature, is to be the motivation for all that we do. And then you see in verses 12 and 13, begins talking about a relinquishing. You know, we begin to yield ourselves. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. We relinquish the control that the old nature used to have. We reckon ourselves dead. We say, okay, no longer do I have to live this way. I am going to yield myself as a member of righteousness, not as a member of unrighteousness. That's what it says here. Let not your sins, therefore, reign, and let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. Who are you allowing to reign in your body? We have a choice. We have an opportunity to yield our body one way or another. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 talks about how we are supposed to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. What are we yielding ourselves to? Here's our choice. We have a spiritual side and we have an old nature. We have a wicked side, a sinful nature. Who are we yielding ourselves to? The Bible says that you do have a choice. You have the opportunity to relinquish that old nature, that old flesh, that you do not have to do those things. We can reckon ourselves as that fleshly nature is dead. It must be treated so. We do not give it anything. He also speaks of releasing. By virtue of the fact that we are dead and risen with Jesus, we have been forever released from the dominion of sin. We are not its slaves any longer. The flesh, the world, and the devil have no control over the child of God. We're free. We're free in Christ. We can be like that slave, and if we ever got a hold of this, it says, I'm free at last, free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. And we can hold up the Word of God. We can hold up our Bibles and say, look, I do not have to do this. God has given me the opportunity, and I have freedom in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I am reckoning myself to dead. I do not have to live this way. I can choose to not do these things. I can yield my body, even though my old nature is going to fight me tooth and nail and is going to be screaming that you have to do something. I can choose to live for God. I can choose to reckon myself dead. So, what does all this mean? Do you want to have victory in your Christian lives? So often we've gotten so used to being nervous or frustrated or worried. So often we've gotten so used to the wicked thoughts that we wouldn't know what to do without them. So often we've gotten used to the sarcasm and the anger. So often we've gotten so used to the whatever it is that we struggle with. The lies, they become truth to us. So often we've gotten used to whatever it is that has hampered us for years. We've allowed it to become a stronghold. The Bible is teaching us here in this passage of Scripture, you can have victory. You can choose to rise above with the help of Jesus Christ because we've been crucified. We no longer are under the dominion of sin. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. for ye are not under the law, but under the grace. So many of us feel like we're under some type of control by sin. That's the lie of the devil. You're not under, sin does not have dominion over a believer, over a Christian. You can choose to be kind. You can choose to be tenderhearted. You can choose to be forgiving. You can choose to meditate on the Word of God. You can choose to be faithful. You can choose to do what God's called us to do in His world. Shine as a light. The devil will tell you you can't. Your flesh, your old nature will fight you tooth and nail. But the Bible tells us that sin no longer has any dominion over you. But do you live that way? Do you act like it? Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray for us, this group of people, and pray for myself even. As we see these words in this scripture, and sometimes it's hard because our old nature and our flesh teaches us something completely different. Help us learn to reckon ourselves with that. Help us to even this week begin, even as we maybe walk out of this room, or even during this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow morning, faced with the temptations that we've maybe given into for so long, that Lord, we would learn to, that sin no longer has dominion over us, and Lord, that we have a potential in you, and Lord, that we realize that potential, and Lord, we follow your pattern, and the fact that death no longer has any dominion over you, sin no longer has dominion over us, and Lord, that we live a life showing this and teaching this. You give us an opportunity, Lord, to live for you and to live victoriously. Lord, I don't know why so often it seems like we keep on failing over and over and over. And Lord, I pray you help us to live a victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen.